Tim, good news in South Australia this week with confirmation that a new naval college will begin operating from June. Basically, South Australia and Western Australia need more than 5,000 people to work in the defence building industry by the mid-2020s. So a massive employment boost for the state. But you've got a different take on this, haven't you?
Do I? I guess I do.
Well, you've thought more deeply about it than I have.
You mentioned that they're, what are they calling it? Is it like, I don't know, like ship school or something?
Shipbuilding college, we'll call it.
Shipbuilding college. You go to learn how to work on all these boats that are going to be built. Great news for the economy.
Great for economy. Great for, speaking off air, I said, oh, I think if I had a teenage son or daughter, I'd be pushing them into this field because I think there'd be plenty of opportunities to be well paid and probably for the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah, good job, bit of stability there. Growth area, I guess you might say.
Well, given the demise of Holden mm-hmm. in the northern suburbs of Adelaide, those sort of skilled jobs, it's hard to come by in manufacturing.
I did wonder though, and I don't know if this is the case, but I just wondered out loud whether you need to give any thought about going and doing a job which results in an end product that's designed to kill people. I mean, I don't know. Is that something that has to be given even a moment's thought? Do we even need to mention it? I don't know.
It's hard to know. Defence is, unless you're involved in conflict, a lot of these defence capabilities are more about patrolling the seas and making sure that,
not,
just in case,
not
protecting from nothing. Sort
not
of thing.
Patrolling in a dinghy, though.
No.
And if you're not, if you're patrolling, you got to have something to back up. You know, they don't just go around with a pop gun and a spud gun.
I'm happy to build this defence naval ship as long as I'm not working on the big gun part.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and if we didn't build the subs, well, it's someone else would. So it may as well be us. But I think I'm just saying this as it comes to me. You think of, famously, unethical job is a drug dealer. And the drug dealer will always say, if they didn't get it from me, they'd be getting it from someone else. So, it's their choice to come and get it from me. And if they didn't, if I wasn't doing it, it'd be someone else. Okay, so if we didn't build these death ships, which I'll just call them because it's a convenient title.
Strengthens your argument anyway.
If we didn't build it, someone else would. But still, does that mean we should? I don't know.
It'd be interesting to go back and look at the stats of the Collins submarines and see what death and destruction they actually caused over their lifetime.
Yeah, and probably not much at all, really, is it? Probably wouldn't have been much at all.
But it is food for thought. I've just gone into it blindly saying, 5,000 jobs for SAWA and probably the rest of the country. But is there an ethical dilemma in being involved in this? I'm not sure. Now, I actually looked at some other jobs. You mentioned a drug dealer. Some other jobs that would definitely cause some ethical issues.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, firstly, I thought about there's been some real tough cases where, pedophiles, child sex offenders, and a lawyer has to pretty much defend them in court. Surely it's hard to go to bed at night thinking, I'm working my guts out to stop this guy going to jail or getting a punishment.
If you went in feeling like I'm just going to make sure this suspect or whoever they are gets a fair trial, that's one thing. Just make sure everything goes through the normal processes. Let's do this step by step. Fine. But if you're actively trying to get off, get someone off a charge, which you deep down feel like, maybe they did do it, but you're trying to get them off anyway. You can't sleep at night at that point, can you?
Yeah, I mean, most of the court cases I've covered at work just through, I don't actually attend court cases, but cover it through other media sources. It seems like they're trying to get them off the charges based on some flimsy argument about the terminology or their background, and that wouldn't sit right with me.
It is iffy, isn't it?
And locally, just recently, I was at the Women's and Children's Hospital in North Adelaide, and saw a parking inspector. He was dishing out fines, like, so quickly.
Oh, you can't question them. That's their job. Like,
yeah, but
that's black and white. That's black and white. There's no gray area.
Yeah, okay. The whole purpose of the job, though, is to bring pain to and frustration. Look, but I guess in doing that, their justification would be, well, the park is then free for someone that needs it and only needs it for a short period of time.
Yeah, okay.
All right, these are a bit more intense.
Oh, it gets more intense than a pedophile lawyer.
Well, shark fin harvester. So shark fin soup is popular in Asia and incomes are rising in that part of the world. But once the fin is cut off the shark, they're generally thrown back in the water for a pretty painful death.
Oh, jeez.
So,
you take a look at yourself. If that's what you're doing for work and you're listening to the podcast,
yep.
Have a think about it.
Yep. Now, I don't know if this article's from a few years ago, whether this still applies, but virus writer. Spammers and hackers sometimes need a good computer virus to accomplish their goals, so they turn to be a virus writer. Is there really an actual profession out there?
Sounds like an awesome job.
Mm.
And, you know, governments would be employing those people. Like, you'd be run off your feet working for the CIA if you have those sorts of skills.
Yeah, yeah. So, now this is one I've thought about before because it's often a news story about cigarettes and taxes and so forth. And there's often a spokesperson for the tobacco industry giving some weird sort of skew on a story. So, tobacco marketer, how you'd feel.
Yes.
Constantly defending a product that we know kills.
That one had flown into my head as well. But I wonder if that's even a job anymore, really. Like, certainly not tobacco advertiser. That's not even a job anymore, really, is it? But yeah, they would have people doing some kind of profile, you know, massaging or whatever. And yeah, that's a bit iffy.
So anyway, there's a few jobs that create a bit of a moral dilemma. I apologise to all parking inspectors. Tim has set me straight. I'm just a bit petty when it comes to seeing parking inspectors out in action. But next time you go for a job, have Tim sitting on your shoulder. Is this the right thing to do? On the other shoulder, it'll be me going, fine, kill people as long as you get a pay packet.
Do you know what's just a quick, you know, test?
Yes.
Is what you're doing likely or possible or potentially going to kill someone? If the answer is yes, I don't know, have a think about it at least. If it's no, i.e. parking inspector, maybe in the clear, I don't know. Anyway, up to your judgment. Just want to let everyone know, newsman, if you were thinking that you would jump on board and snort a condom up your nose, don't do it. It's not ideal for your body.
I have a bucket list. That's not on it, we've got.
Good.
Tell us why this has even been brought up. This is a random thought, or not.
Internet challenge. Say no more. It was Tide Pods not long ago. Teens in the US or wherever putting toxic tablets in their mouths, quickly spitting out before they die. When was that? That's very February 2018. We're now in April.
It's old, man. We've moved on.
Videos going around of these kids snorting the condom up their nose. The whole thing disappears and they pull it out through their mouth.
The few videos you showed me, it looks very uncomfortable. Oh, very
horrendous.
Gag-worthy.
Yeah, like they're dry reaching as they pull it out and there's like, you know, strings of saliva hanging off and they're dry reaching. Reaching or retching? I'm never sure which it is. Maybe it's both. Yeah. So I'm not going to pretend that everyone in the world is doing this.
No.
No, it's don't worry about your kids. Like, they're probably not doing it. But a couple have. And it's such an outrageous thing. It's enough to sort of make it go viral. And what sort of kids would do this? Like, I guess if you have a really impressionable, I don't know, attention-seeking... I am describing every teenager.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we've just discussed it before. It's just about feeling like you belong, you're part of a movement and getting a bit of notoriety along the way as well, especially if you get a bit of a weird response or a weird sort of reaction to it, probably makes the video even better.
Yeah, and if it was just, oh, you know, stick cotton wool up your nose,
mm.
well, that doesn't go viral. Mm. But because this is dangerous,
yes.
or because Tide Pods are dangerous, because there's that element of risk, that's crucial to, you know, getting this virality.
What would be the danger of just getting stuck up there? And
doctors say it can get stuck up there.
Yep.
I think the biggest danger is you can choke on it.
Yeah, right.
And it just messes up your sinuses. Mm. Like, it's going through all those passages.
Which should be all lubricated and not...
Yeah, you don't mess around mm. with that. So, yeah, can be really, really bad news. I don't think so far there's been any deaths.
And, I mean, as useful as a condom is in its proper purpose, there's something gross about it being unfurled in any other situation apart from your one-on-one situation with someone.
And by proper purpose, you mean smuggling drugs.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, perhaps the old adage or the old saying that was probably bandied around in your time as well is, you know, if your best friend walked off a cliff, would you? Maybe they need to change that to reflect the times. Like, if your best friend snorted a condom and pulled it out of their mouth, would you do it?
Yeah, there's something about that saying, isn't there? It's just set up to elicit a no answer.
Yes.
But it's not helpful. Like, it's not helpful. I mean, no one's going to answer yes, but the truth is probably some people are going to
yes.
do what they see.
Yes.
Follow along. You just hope, I mean, probably walking off a cliff might actually be preferable to snorting a condom. Like, so you're right. That saying is so outdated. That is now a safe scenario. It's like if you're a parent trying to find acceptable kids for your own kids to hang out with and be friends with.
It's an abseiler.
Yeah, the guy going off the edge of a cliff is probably the smart one these days.
Hey, normally you have a conspiracy theory on these. Do you think Ansel had anything to do with this latest craze?
Oh.
Someone got their teenage son to get their Johnny.
Where are you going? You started off well. I very much like the idea Ansel being a famous condom manufacturer.
Yes.
This is putting their product in the headlines around the world. Mm. So I love where you're thinking. Mm. I don't know where you're taking it after that, but that is a spot on idea. It wouldn't surprise me at all. My conspiracy is that this is billed as a challenge. It's going viral. And while it is in the news and we're seeing and hearing about it, it's not a trend. It's not something that many people are doing. Only if, you know, only a few people have to do this for it to sort of be newsworthy. I don't think it's, you know, a tsunami of condom snorters, you know, rolling across the country.
I mean, I'm a consumer of mass media and I love internet stuff, but I'm happy to look at these sort of things, but I'm getting tired of it. I'm just like, well, that's not really that different to any other challenge. Oh, yeah. It doesn't really go, oh, wow, that is a new way of looking at something. It's just like a different item being shoved up a different hole.
Yep. Nice way to put it. But isn't that the news? Like, that is news. There is only a couple of quote-unquote stories in the world, and then we're just changing the subjects, the objects, the locations, the amounts, the quantities. If you boiled it down, there's only a couple of stories, but it's just the specifics change all the time, and that's why there's new stuff to talk about every day.
Well, thanks for boiling down my career and putting it into three or four stories that I'm just covering over and over and over. Thank you.
Thanks. You're a lot. Welcome. Saw a story this week, Newsman, that I knew. Knew it in my bones, knew it in my heart, knew it in my head. I knew it everywhere where you can know something, that you would love it.
Okay, let's go with it. Tell me about it.
Human Uber is here.
Ooh, that doesn't initially grab me. What does it mean?
Okay, I'll give you a quick rundown on this. A Japanese researcher, smart techie guy, was at a big technology forum this week, and he unveiled his new invention, which is actually called, I've got it here, chameleon mask.
Oh, now you're getting me.
What it involves is a person let's call them a surrogate, someone who stands in on your behalf, actually wear a screen strapped over their own face, and the screen is sort of streaming your face. So your surrogate can go out into the world, go out and about, do things, do this, do that, with your face streaming on the screen in front of theirs. So you can do things, tasks, while still sitting at home.
How does the surrogate see, though? I'm just now having a look at the picture you've printed out, and while it's good for the user, I'm not quite sure how the surrogate would be able to get around without bumping into things.
Well, excellent point. The story I read did note, it's unclear how exactly a surrogate is able to see, since the chameleon mask appears to cover the whole head. There's a couple of pictures of this in action, and one of the surrogates is sort of wearing a helmet, really.
Oh, okay.
But the screen is strapped over the front of the helmet, so yeah, don't know how. Speculation in this story, maybe eye holes will be coming in the next update. So yeah, question mark around how they actually see. Fairly big question mark as well, it has to be said. But I feel like you've short-circuited, you've jumped ahead of the interesting stuff, which this would allow. Kind of jumping on the heels of, we have technology now that reducing more and more any need for human interaction at all.
But it kind of is interaction, just out of body.
That's true. That is true.
Now, one practical use of this, and I've seen other attempts at it, but probably not as high tech as this, is for people with disabilities or the elderly. And rather than be, you know, hermits and people that can't really get out and about, they're in some way communicating with the rest of the world, seeing what's happening at the shops, seeing what's happening at a local footy event. So in that sense, I reckon it's a great idea.
That is a really good idea. The examples I saw suggested how it could be used would be, you know, if you're going to miss your kid's, you know, cricket game, send the surrogate along. Yeah, but your suggestion is spot on, because we're always told about the aging population. This is getting pretty close to some kind of virtual reality thing, though, isn't it? Where you don't actually have to be somewhere, but you can still experience it as it was.
Does it have to be on top of another person's face? That's the creepy part of it. I mean, couldn't Uncle Bob or Cousin Jean take an iPad and just hold the screen? Or is that the fun part of it, that it's stuck to someone's head?
Definitely loses something as soon as you take the screen off the face. Because the idea is, this is a person. The company even recommends that when you're picking your surrogate, select someone with a similar body type. That's their official advice. So I guess the idea is, what the surrogate is sending out is a complete human. It's not just, you know, Joe Blow holding onto a screen. You like that element of... it's a face swap situation almost. And someone here has described it as mobile FaceTime. It's been dubbed human Uber, but mobile FaceTime probably is closer to what we're actually...
Once again,
about.
I'm already skipping forward. I reckon the best of these surrogates would be people that don't say a word. That would be part of their legal obligation.
They can't say diddly squat. You don't want to hear boo from them.
So it's almost like one of those... London guards, beefeaters. So you can go, oh, what's it like, you know, carrying this guy's face around? Don't say anything.
Vow of silence.
Yep. It's just the face, the screen, and that's it, and you're the body.
Becomes a game to see if you can get the surrogate to crack. The people tickling them. And wouldn't it be funny if I just confess to you right now that I'm a surrogate talking to you right now,
and that freaking me out.
That the real Tim is actually never even came into work today. He's sitting at home. And if you wondered what that strange aspect to my face was today, it's actually because you're looking at a screen.
The other evolution of this, the pictures that you've got there show, it's very obvious it's a 2D, it's a screen, it's a tablet.
Can I call it rudimentary?
Rudimentary.
The photos we're seeing of the tech so far looks rudimentary.
But I'm sure in time, and at the moment there are screens that can be slightly bent, can't they?
Yeah, though you get... the TV screens that have a curve on them. So I don't know that you can bend them,
right?
But, you know, a a curve can be.
But planned. I wouldn't be surprised if one could actually wrap around the shape of your head, and that would be very cool.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Sort of, in a way. At the same time, I don't know. Get out and about. Get off the couch, for goodness sake.